Matthew chapter 6, some commands that Jesus gave. They're some of the hardest commands, I think, at times for us to obey. Talks about, first of all, I want to tell you about the types of love again that Barry introduced us in. Because if we don't understand this fully, we'll never get this passage. There's eros love, a Greek word for love. It's translated one time in the Old Testament. It's where Esther goes before the king, and in all her beauty, and she was beautiful, the king looked upon her and loved her. The Greek word that's used there is eros, and it simply means sexual attraction. Then you have a Greek word, phileo, which refers to brotherly love. The kind of love that we enjoy with each other here at this family of God. The way we care for each other, the way we're close together, is brotherly love. And then there's the Greek word storge for affection that a family would have, mother and daughter, just a natural thing. And then finally you have the Greek word agape. This word is the word that's used throughout 1 Corinthians 13. It's a charitable type of love. It is a love that comes from doing and wanting to do from your mind. You have a will to do what is right. And you have the will to do it so that you take that action. This word agape is an action word. It doesn't have very much to do with feelings. Now, some of the other words can be included in that, but this word alone just talks about my will and my action. What do I want to do, and what will I do because of that? And that's significant in this passage, because oftentimes my reaction to when I have been treated wrongly is not the will of God in my mind and what I want to do and what I know my action ought to be. My reaction is, I don't want to. I don't want to treat that person with love. He's treated me in a way he doesn't deserve it. And so Paul writes about the problem that is going on in Corinth that maybe caused him to put this word in. There's a number of things going wrong in Corinth. As you know, they had a rivalry about who baptized them, if that was all that important. They had a rivalry about who had the greatest spiritual gift. But the one most people think Paul may have been referring to in particular is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where brothers are going to law against each other in a government-led court. Instead of taking their problems that they have as brother or brother, brother, sister, before people in the church who are wise enough to discern the right thing, they go to a law court of Gentiles, non-Christians, and Paul says, that just puts the church to shame. Why don't you show love? And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. You can't win. You've gone to the wrong place. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheating? Instead, you yourselves cheat and you do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. So here we are in the church of God, the family of God. We are to be like God. God is one, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in perfect unity. And the church is to express that through the way that we love each other, the way we act with each other. And here these Christians are going to law against each other. Paul's going to say in Colossians chapter 3, after in this passage, or in Matthew even earlier, Jesus says that we forgive others of their sins. And if we don't, then God's not going to forgive us of our sins. Colossians chapter 3, therefore, as God's chosen ones, accept one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. We've already been reminded of what Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. There was a will in Jesus Christ on that cross for none of the people who are putting him to death to be lost. And that is a challenge that we have as we're to put on, according to Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 2, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And he's in a context there where there's problems going on. And he says, have the mind of Christ. Think and act like Christ to one another. If you can do that, then you can win the battle. If you don't do that, everybody loses. So God, in his nature, desires that we be forgiven, that we forgive one another. He wants to bring us to repentance. He wants us to be with him and to be totally cleansed of any wrong in our lives. And it's all his action. It starts with his desire, his deep desire for us to be clean. His deep desire for us to be forgiven. And the only way that he could do that is let his son pay the price for us. And Jesus was so willing because he wanted us to have this forgiveness. So we say, you're saying, you know, have the mind of Christ. I don't want to ever forget. I never forget what somebody, I've got a book thicker than yours of all the record of wrongs that have been done against me. And yet, at the same time, while that is how we sometimes feel, Jesus is calling on us to forget, to put it behind us, to try to just get it out of our memory. Now, let me just say, when we say that, and passages say that God forgets our sins and remembers them no more, don't think by that is something so literal that he doesn't remember anything I've ever done wrong. I'm not trying to deflate the power of God, but he knows everything. And even if he put out of his mind something I did in the past, the next time I think of it, he'll know it again. So it's a will that we have to put that behind us and to go forward without that on our minds. I never forget. I never forgive. That person does not deserve forgiveness. Look at what that person has done to me, and how in the world am I going to forgive somebody who has treated me that badly? And again, we just turn to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that we're to keep no record of wrongs. And that's based on this love that we have. That is not a feeling. It is not a feeling. It is a will and an action that takes place as a result of that will, of the will of God. I may not feel like forgiving somebody, but the will of God in my mind and my actions can treat them as forgiven. Or, I want revenge. Man, revenge is sweet, isn't it? It's not getting even. It's not getting even. There's no way you get even. You always go above what they've done until you taught that person a lesson of some kind. And yet, Jesus says, Paul says, love and keep no record of wrongs. 1 Corinthians 13 has that long list of the ways we're supposed to treat one another. Even people that we have been wronged by. Mary and I worked at a church right after I got out of college, or before I went to my fourth year in college. For one summer, they had two people who were part-time and they wanted the summer off. So they brought me in, and we got real close to a couple of couples. They were so close to each other. And we went away and came back a couple years later and were invited to a party that the church was having. Everybody was coming together. And when I got there, it just seemed like old times. Everybody's just treating each other so great. They love each other. It's just a great atmosphere. It's what we enjoy here. And then it wasn't long after that till somebody said, mentioned his name, do you know he got real sick a couple years ago? I said, no, I never knew that. He said, yeah, and his wife worked. And so I'll just call him Sam. Sam was working, but his wife wasn't. So his wife came over to take care of him while he was in bed. You know the rest of the story, don't you? You know that adultery came into play. And yet when I was at that party, I saw those four people together and acting like nothing had ever happened. I wouldn't have thought one thing had come between any of those people. They were just acting in a very loving way. Now that I know it, or when I knew it, do I think that they had totally erased it from their mind? No. But I think they had a will and an action to treat each other in a loving way in spite of the wrongs that were done. We can't let wrongdoing come and penetrate us and separate us from, and separate us from our love from each other, put a barrier between us. We want to be like our Father. We want to be like our Savior. We want to be with the Spirit, the one that comes. Jesus mentioned on one occasion, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth had been said. Old Testament law. It was a judicial law. It was a law that was written so that whenever someone did wrong and a right needed to be done about it, that you did not do more wrong to that person than they did to you. So if they put out one of your eyes, you don't get to put out two of theirs. It was a law system. And then Jesus mentions that in Matthew chapter 6. He says, but I'm saying to you, instead of that, if your brother sins against you, you do good. If they want your shirt, give them your coat too. Go beyond what is necessary in order to keep the relationship strong together. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not avenge yourself. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And by doing that, you'll heap coals of fire on that guy's head. I don't think he's saying there, you really get him back. I think he's saying there, you have shown such a loving action that that man, that person, is going to feel so bad about what they did to you and how you responded, that there might be a healing in that relationship. Anybody know of Corrie Ten Boom? Probably a number of us do. We say things like, we can't forgive, and things. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian who helped many people during World War II who were Jews. Her family put them in closets in their home. Saved about 800 Jews from death, according to our best estimates of that. She was, of course, caught, put into a camp with her sister Betsy, into a prison camp. The guards walked around and watched them take baths, walk around naked, put them through all kinds of evil. And after the war was over, Corrie ten Boom went out and started sharing her message with different churches, German churches. And she said when she went into those German churches and she finished talking, nobody came to greet her. They just all turned and walked out the back door without saying anything at all to her. But on one occasion, after this message was over, this man dressed with a hat that has a little front. I've forgotten how you call that hat, but Mark, you know, you wear one. What is it? It's got a little front to it, you know? Anyway, he was wearing one of those, and he wore a really nice coat. But when she looked into his face, what she saw was a German hat, a German Nazi hat. And what she saw on his body was a German soldier's shirt. And she recognized this man as one who was at the place that she and her sister were, Ravensbrück, and that her sister had died. And this is one of the men who had seen everything, done everything, led everything. He came up to her and he said, "Fräulein, what a good message. I am a German. I was at Camp Ravensbrück. I am asking you, would you forgive me?" Corrie said that she immediately put her hand down in her purse and just started touching different things because she was overcome the moment. Didn't want to do that. But she said the more she thought about it, she knew, and she used these words, "It is the will of God that I treat this person with love." And so once again, he reached out his hand and said, "Fräulein, I have become a Christian now. My sins have been forgiven, but I want you to forgive me of my sins." Corrie ten Boom said again, all she could do was think about the will of God, what God would want her to do, what she wanted to do because it was God's will. And she prayed and she reached out her hand. They shook hands and she said as soon as their hands touched, that just some kind of wave of whatever just went down her arm and her whole body and into that man. And there was this feeling of total forgiveness. It was over because she had the will to forgive. Clara Barton was the lady who founded the Red Cross in America. She did great good for a number of people. On one occasion, a friend of hers came up. There was another guy close by, and the friend looked over at the guy and said, "Do you remember what he did to you one time?" And Clara Barton just kept on doing what she was doing. She said, "Clara, look over there at that man. Do you remember what he did to you?" Her answer was, "No, but I distinctly remember forgetting it." That's the will of God. Distinctly remember forgetting it. I put it behind me. I'm going forward. In order to make the change in my life that I need to make. I need to know that I can forgive because it is a will and an action. I've said that over and over, haven't I? I don't want anybody to leave this room today saying that I can't forgive if I don't feel like it. I do not want that. I want everybody to leave this room saying, if I have the love of God in my life, it is my will to be like Him, and I am going to seek to put this in the past. Forgive Him. Treat Him like it never happened. And do these actions of love in the life of that person. How do we do that? It's up there, a long way away. Let me see if I can hit the right button. You can forgive. You must. These three words is how we can respond to this. I want you to remember to forget. Remember to forget that this is to be put behind you. You have the will, you have the action, you may not have the feeling, but you have decided, I am going to forget. I want you to release the urge to reciprocate. I want you to release the urge to get even. To have a payback. I'll show that person. Oh God, thank you for not paying us back. Thank you for paying for us. I want you to release the urge to reciprocate. And thirdly, I want you to resolve to treat that person with love. All of those words in 1 Corinthians 13, words in many other places, those in 1 Corinthians 13 aren't all the descriptions of love. They're just what's going on in Corinth, and we've got to deal with that. But I am going to resolve that I am going to treat any person who's in my big list of record of wrongs, wherever I left it, I need to resolve to treat that person with love, whatever those actions are at that time. That is being like our God. That is the love of Jesus Christ. That is how we show the world that we're different and that we belong to Jesus Christ. Candace, if you want to make your way up. Got a question again for you. I asked you at the start. What would you do now if you were Simon Wiesenthal? Keep in mind that Simon Wiesenthal was a Jewish person. He didn't know Jesus Christ. Doesn't know some of the things that we know. So let's say it this way. What would you do if you were in his place now, knowing who you know, having been forgiven, not because you earned it, but because it was the will of God to forgive you? And he took an action, and that action was to put his son on the cross to pay for my sins so that I could be saved. I would hope to think that if I were in that position, that I would have said to the man, I forgive you, and I will pray that God will forgive you. It's up to God what he does. Me offering my forgiveness, praying to God for his forgiveness, God's going to do the right, the merciful, the just thing. But for me, I am to treat that person with love. If you want to be a Christ follower and you're not, You know there are things in your life you just want to change, to be like Christ, to exhibit Christ. I'll be over here to the side, somebody else probably here. Come talk to us, pray with us. If you want to become a Christian, obviously we want you to come over there.